We're still studying Luke 14:26, and we're studying hate. And we stopped yesterday at Romans 7. So let's go back there and see if we can finish off Romans 7. Remember, hate is the word in Greek, misio. It means hate, detest, abhor. Start in verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not, I don't want to do. But that, for what I would, that I... I'm going to retranslate this. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I do... For what I would do, I do not. But what I hate, that's what I do. Now, the only time you can come to the position of hating what you do is when you've seen that the evil one is the one who's doing it instead of you, instead of Christ. Christ is only in the now. He's not in tomorrow, or he's not in next week. He's only now. And that's the whole mystery of the renewing of our mind. So our mind is also only in the now. That's what it means to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Okay? If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And sin is the evil one, the man of sin, the son of perdition. And he has dwelt in you since your birth. But his conscious operation, God gave us a picture that we can see what this self-awareness, if you will, really happens to us. We lose innocence. We lose naivete. That's why the ancient rabbis called Rosh Hashanah the day of innocence, the day of naiveness or naivete. Except you be converted and become as that little child before self-awareness. You can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. If we could only see what that means, we would truly be free. We think we were free, but if as long as we're thinking of what's happening next, then that what the thing that's happening next is the idol that you're worshiping. Giving importance to. That's all worship means. And you can ask, well, how can I live without doing that? And that's a, you've got to face that. You've got to face the fear of that position. And if you, for some reason, can't, then at least you say, Father, I understand, I see. But I don't think I'm able to do that. No more dancing. There's no more I that do it, but sin, or the evil one that dwelleth in me. verse 20. I find in the law that when I would do good, the evil one is present with me. Now, again, doesn't mean I want to go do a good thing. It means that something that you think is necessary, that's necessary for all the right reasons. I find in the law, when I would do good, the evil one is present with me, or as me.
I have to admit, verse 18 confused me for a second, for I've already said there can only be one person in you at a time. You can't both be in there. And one would assume that for to will is present in me means that something good in there is having a fight, but I realized as I thought about that, that means that even the will to do good is itself evil because I'm trying to take credit for it.
Well, it doesn't even, it's much more subtle than that. What it's saying is your mind can be willing to repent. That's the only thing that you can please God that your mind can do. But that same mind sees that and then begins its dance.
I know. I want to do good, so I don't have to repent.
Well, I even want to be a Christian. I even want to do the law. I even want to be free. I even want Christ. Whatever it is. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That inward man is Christ. And he delights in the law because it's the revelation of him and the revelation of the Father. The law is spiritual. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, your members include your mind. The law of sin. And the mind is the manifestation of the law of sin. Because it is the one that removed you from innocence, from naivete. The moment self-awareness came, then tomorrow came. I've got to do came, so you haven't entered the rest.
Separation came, so I needed something.
O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Nobody does. But he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. And he's talking in the mind of Christ. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, if you don't believe your mind is flesh, then you're in trouble. It's a hunk of meat. This is why everything in the Bible is about the abandonment of self, leaving self behind. Now, what is this? Remember, this is a picture. It's a picture of what this got, what was referring to at the time of Christ in the Roman Empire. For abject criminals, they chained a dead body face to face to them. So that everything as the body corrupted, they were corrupted. We each must pass through the baptism of fire, and the baptism of fire burns everything that doesn't meet the law of truth. If what you're doing changes with time, place, and circumstance, it's not worth giving breath to because it is of the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's why we've gone through all of these hate things. All right, let's go. We've got a couple more. Let's go to Ephesians 5. It's interesting. It's about marriage. Starting 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now there's the one that gets you. How did Christ love the church? He loved the church when it was a state of total apostasy. He loved it when it was in nothing but fornication. He loved it when it was every heresy in the universe. And he waited. Waited and waited and waited for repentance. He waited until all the tricks of your mind of the snake have been exposed. All the moving and swaying. Till the head of that snake had been cut off. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the church, Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be two, shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's the only purpose of marriage. It has no other purpose. There's enough, in fact, there's way too much protoplasm running around in the name of man. Marriage is to reveal the mystery of Christ in the church, and that's its purpose alone. It isn't anything to do with you. You create a vacuum in your marriage, and you'll see an unbelievable change. When you start telling her what to do, you'll see terror like you, or not terror, but you know what I'm talking about.
Bitchiness.
Hmm?
Bitchiness.
Well, that's just the beginning. All right. Hebrews 1. Let's just start in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Hated iniquity. Hated self-seeking under any guise. Why? Because self-seeking is the manifestation of the curse. Self-awareness of any kind is the manifestation of the curse. And until that penetrates, you will never understand who the instead of Christ is. You will dance and play games. And do everything but repent. It's interesting of Rosh Hashanah. The only thing that occurred in Rosh Hashanah, well, it's not true. They say that one of the rabbis says that the Shulamite woman whose son was healed by on the Rosh Hashanah, but that's insignificant. But in every other feast or fast, there's all kinds of things that happened. On Rosh Hashanah, the only thing that happened is the world was created. And by implication, then, the world, the Rosh Hashanah has... is it affects the entire world. It's not just about the Jewish people.
Not just about what?
The Jewish people, or the chosen, or the church, if you will. It's about the entire world, because Rosh Hashanah is the creation, day of creation, and the day of judgment. Now, the 10 days, from God's perspective, are what time has elapsed since Jesus Christ said it's finished. And again, that was all part. Remember, Passover and Pentecost are one day, and really, I mean, one feast in reality. They're connected by the counting of the Omer. So everything that's happened since the day of Christ has been the days of all. The readings for all of those thousands of years are the simple readings of repentance, the two of repentance. Because the world ended in God's mind in Rosh Hashanah, the purpose of time and space was complete. In that day, spiritually, was Rosh, the end of the world was Rosh Hashanah, Judgment Day. There's nothing that's going on in time and space, that's going on in your life, that just fades in everything until when you are, this is apprehended, when you've apprehended this, when it's apprehended you. Because the parable is complete. The pattern showed unto Moses on the mount is finished. Everything happens in eternity. Everything happens at the same time. That's what Einstein said, but he's right.
You got the birth mixed up with the scene of the vanity of everything. It's all the beginning and the end. It's all
the same. That's what it means to confess the Lord Jesus, is to see that and live as that way. Never ranking the importance of anything. Mowing the lawn, washing dishes is just as important as winning the Nobel Prize. There's no ranking of anything. All right, let's go to Ephesians? All right. We'll go to Jude and then we'll quit and we'll go to Revelation tomorrow. If there is a tomorrow. Jude, where are you?
Did we finish Hebrews?
We didn't do anything in Hebrews.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We didn't do it.
We almost got there. We're still in Hebrews, chapter 1. We finished it. It says, because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. We finished. He hated self-seeking. He hated awareness of self. Why? Because it's the fruit of the curse.
Hated
iniquity. All iniquity is Avon. Avon calling Abin, self-seeking under any guise. All right, now Jude. This is a good place to go. Then we'll go to Revelation later, not today. We've got time. Let's just read it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, peace and love is multiplied. So if he was a brother of James, he's also the brother of Jesus after the flesh. But he couldn't, the humility would not let him say that. All right. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. You got that? Will therefore put you in remembrance that you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities above them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for example, for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of things which they know not, and what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. What you know naturally is a brute beast. Do you understand what you have been taught? And giving breath to that which you've been taught. Doesn't matter whether it's religious, doesn't matter whether it's behavior patterns, it doesn't matter anything, whatever the zeitgeist is of this, any age, it's meaningless. Except as a vehicle to bring you to repentance. They know that what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they come up themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them, or convict, of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed, ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person and admiration because of advantage, or in order to gain an advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faithful, faultless, before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. They should have named that book Repentance Book.
Yeah. Pretty strong.
All right. Anyone have any response or comments? You got to remember, you've always only been just a vessel for deity. You've never been an independent self, no matter how much you thought you were. And that you walk according to your mind, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's why allow faith alone must be manifested. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And becoming as that little child is called sanctification. The hating and loss of self-awareness. Take it big time.